This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Tig?
Cheryl, I would say there's too much to get into ahead of how much we got into things.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes, because we covered a lot of stuff. Well, oh, you hate it when I say that. Well, you hate it when I say that.
I do.
We do cover a lot of stuff in this episode.
I know, but yet we barely cover a thing.
We barely talk about the penguins. Oh, now I just gave it away.
Well, it's called March of the Penguins.
Well, I was about to say that.
Okay, well, go on.
Okay, ladies and jerks, welcome to March of the Penguins.
It all started when Tig and Cheryl met in the mid-2000s.
Hey, nice to meet you, Tig. I'm Cheryl Hines.
Hi, Cheryl. I'm Tig Notaro. Should we do a podcast about documentaries?
Yes.
A podcast about documentaries?
Is this microphone on?
Five furious frogs fiddling faintly. Furious frogs fiddling faintly. Five furious frogs fiddling faintly.
I am the first ever podcast. And Tig and Cheryl are following in the sound of my footsteps.
Let's get started.
I'm so ready.
Tig and Cheryl.
True story. Tig.
Cheryl, how are you?
You know what? I am over the moon because this is our 50th episode.
Did you think we'd get this far?
No. For some reason, I thought it was going to be like, you know, a few weeks.
Mm-hmm. Why?
What did you? Because it felt like we were just doing it during lockdown.
Uh-huh. But you and I had talked about doing this podcast before the pandemic started.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And so I was seeing it long term. And so, you know.
So this is no surprise.
I almost said, luckily, the pandemic is long term. But that.
Well, that is lemonade out of lemons right there.
Yeah. But I saw it as a long haul.
Yeah. All right.
Is there a point that you want to reach where you're like, I'd like to get out of this. I'd like to wrap this up and move on.
No, I am so shocked at how much I love this.
Mm-hmm.
And I
Why
really
are you
love
shocked?
Well, because I didn't know that. I had no idea that you would be so connected to your listeners.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I've been in show business for quite some time and it's a different connection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This does feel really personal. I feel like we're just talking to our friends. And
I know it is weird when people write in or we read the fan mail. Even if you haven't met them, it feels like you're hearing from a friend.
Yeah, I feel like we know them. It's like, oh, yeah, she vacuums. You know, it's like, yeah, there's something very, I don't know, personal that's so sweet.
Our listeners have some of the cleanest floors.
They do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. People have been writing in talking about, somebody just said that they've started to clean even more.
Mm. Oh.
They've added things to clean during the podcast.
So they can keep listening to us.
Yeah, so they can keep listening.
That's nice.
Yeah, they must have some clean houses. It's amazing.
Well, floors, really.
Or just the floors. They only do the floors.
Yeah.
Well, you want to hear what... Wait, is this where I introduce? Oh, gosh. No,
there's no
this
way of knowing.
Weird. Nope. Today, we are talking about March of the Penguins.
Yeah.
Which is a 2005 French nature documentary directed by Luc Jacquet. Do you pronounce the T? No.
I don't.
Yes? No.
I mean, I don't ever say it.
Luc Jacquet? Jacquet. No. And produced by National Geographic. The film depicts a year in the life of the Emperor Penguins of Antarctica. March of the Penguins won the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature.
And as it should have.
$77 million at the box office, making it the second highest grossing documentary of all time after Fahrenheit 9/11. It's available to rent on YouTube, Apple TV, and Amazon Prime. Wow. I didn't realize it was that successful.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have read this before this moment, but.
It's really, you don't have that shocking kind of time, even though we did spend an hour and a half talking before we pressed record. Now, I watched this.
Yes.
Probably, we've put off recording this episode for so long.
Right.
You know, I was in New Orleans filming a movie, and I had to be evacuated out of there because of the hurricane.
Yes.
And I was just thinking how I watched, well, first of all, I've already seen this documentary years ago.
No, I had seen it too, yeah.
And then I rewatched it because I've learned my lesson on the show that I need to rewatch.
It's the one, it's the only thing that we have to do for this podcast. It's just to watch.
Which is a lot, okay, because
it's a lot of work.
It does. I'm a busy person, so
you're
getting in a documentary, it takes focus.
Effort.
And I almost...
You almost said, hey, I've seen it.
I almost did it again, but I knew. Listen, I've learned time and time again, and I'm so glad I watched it. But I was thinking, I watched it when I was at the St. Vincent Hotel in New Orleans, which was probably 3 weeks ago, and my friend owns that hotel. It's beautiful. It's new. You should stay at it.
Okay, I will.
But I, after that, started to stay with my cousin in Mississippi, and so I know how long ago I watched this documentary, and I can't believe we're now 3 weeks later.
Talking about it.
Finally talking about it.
Finally talking about it. Yeah, this did come out a long time ago, and I did see it.
Did you see it in the theater?
I guess I did. I mean, 2000, did we have a way to watch TVs at home in 2000? I mean,
do we have a way to watch TVs at home?
Do we have a way? I guess I saw it at the theater, although this doesn't sound like the kind of movie I would, you know, be standing outside waiting for.
Oh, you know
what?
For. You probably rented it.
I probably rented
at a rent at a place.
Oh,
that
back
has
in
VHS's.
The Blockbuster days.
Yeah, a place that has VHSs.
But circling back to our introduction for a second, when I read Fahrenheit 9/11, it reminds me of my mom, Cracklin' Rosie, because when she talks about 9/11, she calls it 911. So she's like, she'll always say, "I remember when 911 happened." It's like, 911. Oh, 9/11?
911.
Yes, 911. It's like, okay. I don't know that anybody else calls it that except for my mom, but.
Oh, Cracklin' Rosie.
Oh, Cracklin' always throws me off.
I remember when September 11th happened, and my girlfriend at the time and I, we got up to watch the news, and we were just, you know, having our coffee and completely just
oblivious to what was happening out there.
Well, yeah, but also it was so crazy because I know I've said this on this podcast, but
it doesn't
matter.
We say the same things over and
over.
Here
it comes. I was cycling long distance from Montreal to Portland, Maine. And then I took a flight from Portland, Maine to, I can't remember where, and then to LA. And I flew on September 10th. And my flight was September 11th. But I went on September 10th. I went standby because I had blown out my knee on this long-distance cycling trip. And when we were watching the news the next morning, they showed the path of the terrorists. They went from Montreal to Portland, Maine. They flew out of Portland, Maine. Do you know how tiny that airport is?
No, I've never been to Portland,
it's
Maine.
It's so tiny. And then from there, they flew and did everything that they were doing. I was on the exact path of the terrorists.
Aye.
Anyway, so the next morning I woke up and my girlfriend and I were looking at the news and she was like, "That is the exact path you were on. Exact. Montreal to Portland, Maine to wherever I flew. I can't remember, Chicago or Boston or something, and then to LA." She was like,
that
I can't
so
even believe
crazy.
What I'm watching. And then this is a long way to go to tell you. And then like at noon, my mother calls and she's like, Tig, this is your mother. There's been an attack on America.
Oh, and I'm like, breaking news. Yeah. We've been watching it for 3 hours.
Yeah. Yes. And I was in harm's way almost. Oh, do you know what I
you
mean?
You couldn't have told. You didn't tell her that.
No. But it's like my mother. I'll just say I'm my mother's daughter. Like a little a little out of touch.
You're a little bit behind.
I'm actually good with news. But, you know, my
everything
mother's,
else is like.
Oh, yeah. I think like a month before my mother died, I remember being like, you know, something about Arnold Schwarzenegger. And she said, who? She'd never heard of the guy.
Whenever I'm shooting anything and my mom will ask me who else is in it. Mm-hmm. If it's not Ben Affleck, she does not know them. She has no idea.
Why does she know Ben Affleck so well?
I don't know. But that's her idea of a movie star. And if it's not him, she's like, oh, I have never heard Larry David. That doesn't even know. And she's always like, I don't.
She knows who Larry is now.
Now she does.
Does she know who I am?
Oh, God, no. Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, you do a podcast with me.
You think my mom is listening? By the way, my mom keeps asking me how she can get a podcast. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I don't know that this would be her favorite. You know what I mean?
You know what we should do? We should produce a podcast with Cracky and one of my cousins in Mississippi.
Oh my God.
Have the two of them talk.
Oh.
Each week.
Oh, each week. Okay, I would love that. Tig.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Penguins.
Penguins. They're very cute.
They are so cute. I can't stand it.
Cute. Do you feel sorry for them that they can't fly? I felt like I spent a lot of time feeling sorry.
I feel sorry for them for so many reasons.
So many reasons. Although.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty fantastic that they can also get around on their bellies.
It's
that they can
great.
Walk or they can just,
yeah, if they're
like
just
belly
tired.
Ride
yeah.
Yeah.
Belly
I mean,
ride
it would be kind of nice if you're just like, ugh, sick of walking. I'm just going to
flop
get on
my
belly and, yeah, flop yeah. on my belly for a while.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty fantastic.
Well, and it's also pretty great when the whole troop flops on their belly. Like they.
It's so cute. They all do it together.
I mean, birds of a feather flock together. I
oh,
mean.
Wow, did you just make that up?
I did. Do you think it'll take off?
No. I mean, who is the lead bird is my question. When I was watching that, I'm like, who's the first one to flop on their belly? And is there ever one of them that's like, I'm going to flop on my belly and see if they all follow. And then they don't.
Whoa.
And then it's like, back on my feet, back on my feet.
You have some really insightful, deep thoughts.
Well, I mean, that's the scary part of being a leader.
Are you talking about yourself?
Yeah, I'm talking about myself. I'm thinking about being a leader of some sort. And what if people don't follow?
Well, flop on your belly and see who...
Next time I'm at the mall, I'm just going to flop on my belly and see.
Do you go to the mall?
I haven't been to the mall in quite some time, I'll be honest.
Well, it's how long?
Well, I mean, I go to outdoor malls.
Well, are you like you're a snob where you're like, I'm not going to shop inside. I only shop outside.
No, I just went to the mall the other day because I went to the Container Store.
What did you need to contain?
I needed what did I need? I needed like a shoe rack. But I could spend hours at the Container Store because once you're in there, you're like, oh my God, I do need a drawer divider because all the stuff in my drawers are just like, every time you open the drawer, it just all mixes in together. And
oh,
why can't
buttons
be...
and safety pins.
buttons and pens.
Yeah.
And they're all mixed together and who can find them?
One battery. Does it work or is it dead?
No,
I have to throw it in the remote with the
right.
other batteries and see if one of them.
Yes. And yeah. what if you were that person that you opened your drawer and everything was lined up? I just went to my friend's house and she has a cookie jar, a glass cookie jar, mm-mm. and they stack the cookies on top of each other in the cookie jar to make them look cute.
Who is this person?
Her name is Shelley. She knows who she is.
Does she listen?
I doubt it. But hey, Shelly, hey.
Hey, Shelly, hey. Now, is the cookie jar, is it round or is it like a cylinder where it's cookie on cookie on cookie on cookie, you know?
It's round. It's round. So it's like a layer of cookies and then a layer of cookies.
So is her whole house like this?
Yes, yes. All of her drawers have customized drawer dividers. I honestly said to her, can I get the name of your drawer divider person?
Uh-huh.
And she's like, yeah, I'll send it to you. But have I followed up on that? No.
Stephanie watched, you know, that Reese Witherspoon organizational show?
The Home Edit?
Yeah, Home Edit.
Yeah. I love seeing your before and after pictures. It makes me feel like, oh my God, I'm doing that.
Oh my gosh. Well, Stephanie did it. Well, she did it to our pantry. And she did it. She did it to our son's bathroom cabinet.
That doesn't stick.
No, it does, because they can't reach their cabinet, so it's just for us.
Okay.
But our pantry is one of those pantries where people walk in, they're like, oh my gosh, I love your pantry, because nothing is in the original boxes that it came in. They're all in
little containers. Hey, container store, hey.
But they're glass containers.
A glass, so you can see.
They're glass, yeah, mm-hmm. And with little wooden tops. And so you can see what cereal or what nuts or, you know, all that.
That is so nice. I would love to see a picture of that on your social media sometime.
Well, maybe I'll put it on the Tig and Cheryl True Story March of the Penguins photo.
I love that we're talking about March of the Penguins. And we've yet to talk about a penguin.
I loved this movie. And you feel sorry for him. Did you love this?
Yeah, I loved it.
Whoa, it doesn't sound like you love it. Do you know how much I love this?
This movie?
Yeah. Do you know how much?
How much?
I told Stephanie I think it might be one of my favorite movies of all time.
Why?
I think it is the cutest, most captivating movie. But I have to say, when things get rough.
Oh, my God.
It gets so rough. And I yelled at the movie. Like, I'm like, stop it. Do not show me that. Show me that.
Same.
Ugh,
same.
It's devastating.
Gobby, see, I said her name right, was watching me watch this.
Uh-huh.
And then she started videoing me because I was like, I am not going to watch another storm. This cannot be happening. This cannot be happening. And she's like filming me. I'm like, Gobby, it's not funny.
It's so devastating.
Devastating.
And, you know, obviously, this is nature, and they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Why are they supposed to be doing this?
I don't know.
Why? I feel like somebody moved to a town that they weren't supposed to move to, and they started having a family there.
Yeah.
Now, generations later, they're all in the wrong town.
Spot.
Yeah.
Well, let's figure out some answers. And we'll be back to you right after this, after we give you a break.
Let's give our listeners a break.
They need a break.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And we're back.
I hope that was a long enough break.
Well, here's what I can tell you. Morgan Freeman voices this movie.
He's good at it.
He's good at it. He's got a very, his voice is very relaxing and knowing.
And he's from Mississippi.
Oh, and he's from Mississippi.
Yeah. But it's like he's so known for doing this, but for good reason.
For good reason. So in this film, I mean, I guess there are people out there that haven't seen it, right?
I guess.
We'll tell you what happened. Rita spills some beans.
See, this is where I don't understand how you get to decide.
Because you don't give a thought to the beans at all. And I feel like if someone was listening and this was like a, you know, we were talking about murder or we were talking about some sort of mystery, I feel like you would just launch in.
I would say penguins living this miserable life is a real mystery. Okay.
That's okay to say.
Okay.
Well, this one doesn't really have a spoiler. I mean, these penguins are just like
freezing to death. They're freezing to death.
They're not freezing to death. They were born.
Some
to
of
live
them are
the
freezing
Antarctica.
To death.
I don't think they would be freezing to death if they had enough to eat.
It was devastating watching these little precious,
the little
adorable.
They don't even look real, those little penguin chicks.
Oh, my God. There's even the ones that, but they're not even the babies. Even the grown ones, when they're on a long trek and they get tired and they don't have food, they die. God.
It's so sad.
Nobody knows what we're talking about.
Okay, well, here's what happens in the film.
Okay.
There are all these penguins, and they have to
And when you
walk...
say there's all these penguins, it's not like... 10.
There are thousands. I don't know how many thousands.
Is it thousands? It's a lot. It's like you can't see the end of the line. And it's a line of them. They're like walking in a near straight line.
Isn't it interesting? Why do they walk in a line?
I don't know.
We could
Cheryl.
Never know.
No.
There's no way to know this.
There's no way to know.
There's no way. But they have to walk for 70 miles to go to a breeding ground. Because they need to go to a place where the ice is still really thick so they can get it on. And so they have to walk. Uh-huh. And at first, the film is really fun because it is just like spring break for these penguins.
Oh, my gosh.
They march for 70 miles and then it's like...
Which is what you do on spring break. You march,
you march,
yeah,
and then you get it on with the first person you find
that looks exactly like you.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of WeWork when they go on their trip. Remember the WeWork when
March of the Penguins reminded you of WeWork on their
vacation?
Yes, because
WeWork, and they would throw that really fun party. And everybody was hooking up and drinking beer. This was like that for the penguins.
Okay.
They all hook up, yes or no? These penguins, they are all looking for action.
It's
that's
not
the only
like,
reason.
Right, but they're not.
That's
a long
the only
way
reason
to
they
go.
March for 70 miles.
I know, but.
And they're all so happy at the beginning.
I know.
Just like WeWork.
How do they know that ice is so thick to go party on?
Because it's...
And do it.
I know. Which one discovered it first? I don't know. Or two.
And then had the language to explain...
To tell the crew,
hey,
guys,
you
get
can
in line.
Totally get in line, walk 70 miles this way in March, and
I
then
promise,
go...
It's going to be worth it.
Do it until your
do
heads
it.
Pop off. Because don't worry, the ice is really thick.
The ice is going to hold.
Yeah.
That is not your worry on this trip.
Yeah.
That is not
that is
the worry
not
your, on
Do
this
not
trip.
Worry. That ice will hold.
The ice is going to hold. And yeah, so they all
do it. But they're monogamous. They find their partner.
It's so sweet, isn't it?
So they're not just like, they're not like doing it with everybody, right? They find somebody and then
like they
do it.
Then they do it.
With that. I was going to say with that person, but with that
with that
precious little penguin. Wouldn't that be funny to be a penguin and realize,
oh, the
oh my God,
are watching me.
I'm a penguin? Like,
she'd be like, oh, a penguin. I'm a bird that doesn't fly.
I am okay. A penguin. This is hilarious. I'm a penguin.
Wow.
It just seems like such a funny thing to be. If you're going to be anything.
A penguin. They look like they're having so much fun.
Yeah. They look like butlers. They look like a bunch of butlers.
Little butlers.
Yeah, little butlers opening the door.
But you know what was sad?
Many points.
Yeah. So what I didn't like about the film is like, I had always seen footage of these penguins like shooting out of the water onto the ice.
Yeah.
And it looked like they were having a ball.
Yeah.
And then they have all this underwater footage of like sharks chasing them. And that's why they shoot out of the ice.
Yeah.
Out of the water onto the ice.
Yeah.
And so it's not because they're having a ball.
No.
They're like panicked for their life. And terror is like shooting them out of the water onto the ice.
And wait, there's sharks underwater in that cold?
Yeah. Wasn't it a shark? Or a barracuda? No, that...
A turtle?
I don't know. Predators. Let's say predators.
Let's say predators.
Because do sharks like warm water? There's no way to know.
It seems like they do when you think about Florida and Australia.
Right.
It doesn't
feel
seem...
like...
It feels like they're in But they do like cold.
What are the penguins... What are getting the penguins? Now I can't remember.
I don't know.
Oh, God. Our producer, Thomas, just had to tell us.
It's not sharks.
It's not sharks. It's leopard seals. Like, quit talking about sharks in Antarctica. It's not happening.
Sharks.
And we watched this movie twice.
And I mean, you never see a shark fin pop up near the water because there's ice.
Through the ice.
Yeah.
Done it. No. Okay. Leopard sharks. I mean, no, leopard. there are leopard sharks. Leopard seals. Okay.
Yeah.
And they look so mean, don't they?
Yeah.
So after they get it on, which by the way.
Let's get it on. Can we in post drop in let's get it on?
Let's get it on. Oh, I can't find the right key.
No, I know.
Let's get it on. No, wait. Let's get it. You sing it. Let's get it on.
I thought you did musical theater.
I did until I auditioned for it was
musical
in the middle
theater.
Of an audition. I was auditioning for musical theater. I was singing Anything Goes.
Wait, is that the name of a song or were you singing anything?
Oh, I was just like, anything goes, you guys. I was singing the song, Anything Goes. Uh-huh. And I sort of had an out-of-body experience and I heard myself. I've probably told this story before,
you have.
Too. Oh, my
you have.
God. Oh, my God. Yeah, and they told, and I said, I can't sing. And they said, you're right.
But is this the time when I should tell our listeners that I was asked to play...
Braggadocious alert. Wee-oo, wee-oo.
I'm not going to say what character in what musical, but it's a very famous role in a musical on Broadway. And it's typically a man. And they were going to drop me into the role. And I wanted to do it.
So badly.
I was going to work so hard at my singing and my dancing. I was going to work so hard. But then I realized I would have had to get ready for this role in like 1 month. And I'm, you know, I'm not trained singing and
you
dancing
know, Broadway
person.
Is no joke. People travel from around the world. And then imagine them going to see you like.
Well, that's what Stephanie said. She said, if you do this role, you need to train and be
bring
ready.
It.
And you need to really bring it. You
it.
Can't go out on stage and be doing it tongue in cheek. You need to do it.
Yeah.
And when she said that, I was like, you are so right. And I had I had every intention to try my hardest. I like to do my best in everything.
Yeah.
But I couldn't possibly do this.
Even your hardest.
Role
it's not going to be good enough.
In a month, get ready with my singing and my dancing. But I'm hoping that in the future that I can... make my Broadway debut and get my singing and my dancing in order.
Oh, I will be there front row and center.
Well, let's give everyone a break and we'll be right back. Maybe with some singing and some dancing
March
by some penguins.
my God.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And we're back with some role reversal.
Wow. So, yeah. So the penguins, that they when they do have lay an egg, then there's a handoff.
Well, I thought it was perfect because I was just talking about role reversal because it was me. That's why I said we're back with role reversal.
Oh, I didn't get it.
That's why I have to explain everything. Like how there's not sharks trying to eat the penguins.
And now begins one of nature's most incredible and endearing role reversals. It is the penguin male who will tend the couple's single egg. While the mother feeds and gathers food to bring back for the newborn, it is the father who will shield the egg from the violent winds and cold. He will make a nest for the egg atop his own claws, keeping it safe and warm beneath a flap of skin on his belly. And he will do this for more than 2 months.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. And I can't believe that in those temperatures that the dad can just flap his little belly over the egg and the egg is fine.
He flaps it over.
I mean...
Although, can I say... Yes, there were lots of sad moments, but it's very difficult to transfer the egg from the female to the male. And they have to.
Well, they don't have hands.
Huh?
They don't have hands.
No, they don't have hands. That makes it difficult.
It makes it so hard.
And it's so hard. And some of the couples work on it, they practice, they get ready. And then you saw like the one couple, and I guess it was the lady that was just like sort of kicked it over. The lady penguin kicked it over to him, and then that's it. It was over because the egg was exposed to too much.
Yeah. It froze.
Cold weather.
It froze.
Ugh.
It's so sad. And you have to remember, they marched 70 miles. They jumped out of water away from killer sharks.
Killer sharks in the Antarctica.
They marched 70 miles. They partied on a thick piece of ice.
They found just the right partner.
Yeah, they had sex with a stranger on thick ice for WeWork weekend with a keg of beer. They got pregnant.
They were doing shots.
Yeah. And then the little egg... rolls out and freezes. And that is the end of that.
That was so sad.
So sad.
But I will say, they're very sweet at lovemaking. I mean, we never actually saw penetration, but it was very sweet, the sort of mating sequence, you know, head to head. They would like rub heads together and... You know what I mean? Didn't they seem like they were really in love?
What if they did show penetration?
Well, I kept thinking, where is a penguin's penis? And how does this even happen? Were you thinking that ever? Where are their reproductive...
I know. It just looks like they're huddling together to keep warm and like rubbing the tops of their heads.
Yeah, they just look like they're in love, but
Thomas, are you looking up Penguin genitalia?
Penguin penises?
Penguin penises. What does it say?
They must be long to reach out from under that belly flap.
And across the ice?
Across the claws and the ice.
Through the claws?
Other.
Through four pairs of claws.
What does this penis look like? I should have Googled this beforehand.
Wait, Thomas is saying, to this day, nobody has uploaded the picture of a penguin penis. So all of our listeners, like, you can be the first right now.
Yes.
Go online and upload a picture of a penguin penis if you have one. Not if you have a penguin penis, but if you have the picture. Well, if you do have a penguin penis.
We'd also like to see that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's pretty mysterious, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where is that thing and where does it go?
We should have gone to a break right then.
We should have really looked into this.
Where is that thing and where does it go? We'll be right back after these messages. Can I just say real quick, you know what I cannot stand? Speaking of transferring an egg to the man. I cannot stand when men, or anyone for that matter, whatever your gender is or your non-gender is,
okay,
if you have a child and you are watching your child and your other partner is not around, whether you're married, dating, or divorced or separated, when you are watching your child, do not call it babysitting. You are
watching your own child.
Your child.
Yeah, you don't get extra credit for that.
Yeah, you're
no
not.
No one's paying you. It's like, that's your job.
I cannot stand when people are like, my wife's gone, so I have to babysit my kids tonight. It's like, no.
Yeah.
Those are your children. You know what I mean? Like, I would never, and Stephanie would never say, okay, well, I'm going out, but you have to babysit.
That is true.
And I hate to be sexist, but I feel like men typically say that. Men are the ones that typically say, and then I was stuck home babysitting.
Ooh.
I don't like it. And I say, stop it. Yeah. Stop it. When somebody transfers the egg to you, that's your egg.
That is also your egg.
That is your egg.
Yeah. And these guys don't complain.
No.
They scoop it in their belly
flap.
Hole.
Your belly hole.
They scoop it in their flap.
Think about the first time that happened where they clearly were stuck on Antarctica and did not know how gender roles worked.
Uh-huh.
You know? And it probably was born out of this hardworking mom and a lazy spouse.
Yeah.
That was like, well, somebody's got to feed this family. And she's like, here, lift up your belly flap and just let me at least put our baby underneath there and I'll go find
belly
some
flap.
Food. And you're put in your belly hole and I'll go find some food. And he's like,
I was
fine.
Wondering why. I mean, why the female had to do it.
But why not the female? Let's not be sexist here like I just was.
I know, but I felt like she just worked so hard, you know, giving birth. Is it called giving birth to an egg?
I don't know. He's working hard hiding his penguin penis. he's been doing. He's like,
the thing must be so long and skinny, I think.
And where does it go when he's not...
And
why didn't, if there is a God, this would have been a perfect time to give an animal a pouch.
Yes.
Why did a kangaroo in the warmest weather get a pouch? Give penguins a pouch. Give penguins a pouch. Stop
the penguins
giving penguins.
Need it.
It's warm in Australia. Give penguins a pouch.
Give penguins a pouch. wait, Thomas just told us
give us some information. I'm sorry, I got really worked up there.
I know. Okay.
Penguins do not have penises. So
there is no way we could have known this
for the rest of your lives. That's why there's not a single picture of a penguin penis.
Oh boy.
So I can't wait to see what gets uploaded online. Penguins do not have penises. Both sexes have orifices called, go on, you say it.
Cloacas?
That are used both for reproduction and for waste.
Whoa.
Wow. They need to start communicating with the rest of the world because they're doing things wrong.
They're doing it the hard way.
Yeah. We need to get them pagers at least.
For booty calls, you mean?
Well, no, just so they can contact the rest of the world. Like get a payphone.
They need some information.
And a belt and a fanny pack.
I like that a pager is the best you can do.
Well, just because they're so out of touch. Like, ease them in. Get them a rotary
phone. Even a pager would be helpful.
Yeah. Okay, the female lies on her stomach while the male climbs onto her back. The female lifts her skirt and takes her shoes off.
No. She lifts her tail, allowing their cloacas to touch and sperm to be transferred. This process does not take long, often lasting about 10 seconds.
That is 10 seconds too long for me.
My God.
So the sperm goes into their waist pouch?
Yeah.
And then the cutest animal ever is born?
Yeah. From the cloacas.
From the waist pouch. After sperm goes into their waist pouch, then the most adorable animal exists on the planet. Ugh.
They march out there for 70 miles for 10 seconds. I mean.
Listen,
I am so glad we got to the bottom of the penguin's penis because I don't want to ever make that mistake again. And I'm embarrassed that we made it on this podcast, but.
They march 70 miles to touch their orifices for 10 seconds. Why not do it where they were? I mean, you don't need a thick piece of ice to...
No, because in my mind, I thought
First of all, we sound like scientists.
And biologists. I thought that there was humping going on.
You thought, well, how can they hump with no, they don't have a waist? I mean, they have a waist
that's
pouch.
That's why I didn't understand how it happened. But yeah, why can't they just do it in the thin ice? It only takes 10 seconds. I mean, and.
Well, because they don't have any information. And that's what I'm saying is somebody needs to give these birds a talking to. I mean, they're doing everything wrong.
To get these birds a pouch.
Yeah. They're walking 70 miles in the freezing cold to touch their orifice onto another orifice for 10 seconds.
Oh, man. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so then the moms, the ladies, whatever you want to call them, the females, they march back to water. Because now they have very little food in them because they've used all of their resources to make this egg.
And they've like defecated into their sex orifice.
Yeah, I wonder.
And they're like, oh, here, rub your defecated.
Your orifice?
Your.
Yes, I wonder if the waste is then part of the egg.
Please let this be someone's first episode. And they think it's like a public radio, NPR.
I think we're really going to talk about
please,
this film.
Please let this be your first introduction to the show.
Somebody out there is so angry right now.
There's many.
Listening.
There's many.
Okay. They all huddle together, which is very sweet.
It's so sweet. But how sad... For the God. Ones on the outer ring.
But they said that they rotate.
But still, you know there's some little bastards.
Some a-hole.
That's some in there that's acting like they've rotated and they haven't. They have not.
They have not.
Speaking of being on the outer part of a huddle,
yeah.
One of the funniest things that I think exists on this planet.
Yeah.
And watch next time you see a sports game, mainly football, is okay. When after a game and a team wins and they all start jumping on each other.
Yeah.
The funniest part that makes me laugh all the time are the grown men that are on the outer part that can't be in the middle. And they're just out there trying to and they're just
be a part
jumping,
of it.
But they're just hopping.
Not making contact with anybody.
Everybody in the huddle doesn't really feel them or
they
know.
They don't even know that guy
is
out there.
Yeah, and that guy's jumping and he's touching people's backs, but he's not part of it. Nobody knows. I see
that. That would be heartbreaking.
Oh, my God. And it's the funniest, most pathetic moment. Oh, man.
He's trying.
But they're all trying around the outer rim of the sports celebratory huddle.
Yeah.
And they're all hopping and they're facing each other.
They want to be in it.
But the outside, they're not in there. And they got there a little too late.
They got a little too late.
And watch it. It's really funny and sad. And it's just a grown man hopping on the outside.
Oh, I am self just cheering.
It's so funny. Oh, boy. You know what? I looked up. I did Google.
What?
Travel to Antarctica.
You want to go there?
Yes, I do.
To see the penguins?
I want to do everything that place has to offer, which probably is three
things. It doesn't have anything to offer.
It's beautiful.
It's just looking at penguins and looking at icebergs.
That sounds incredible. You don't want to go on vacation with me to
Antarctica?
Yeah.
I don't like being that cold.
Well, we would wear coats.
And but
little
something's going to be exposed.
And earmuffs. No, you can wear
it
those face masks.
So uncomfortable. But I would like to see your pictures.
Okay.
So the father watches this egg for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
The ladies go to find some food, which is a torture chamber, by the way.
Yeah.
Because like we said, there are the leopard seals that are also hungry.
Just as hungry as those sharks.
Circle of life. Circle of life, but it's really sad. And then
it is so sad. And those birds that come down and get the little baby penguins.
Oh, God. Here's a really sad moment. So after the females, you know, they're they are busting their balls to try to get some food. They have to do all their hiking and marching and then get back to the guys and the eggs.
There's no balls on the male or female. It's just her female.
And they get there.
Front pouch.
Yeah, I guess they don't have balls. I guess I don't have. Anyway, they get there and now.
They have a filthy orifice full of defecation. She's busting that.
It doesn't sound.
She's busting her orifice full of defecation.
Oh my God. And they get back, and the guys are so happy to see them. Everybody's so happy to see them.
Yeah.
And
everyone's hungry.
They have to listen to try to find their mate, and everybody's.
Oh, and while the lady's gone, the dad throws up the last bit of food he has into the baby's, down the baby's
throat.
Yeah,
because the little chicks are born. A lot of them are born. And then, so the moms come back. Yeah, so the dads are starving. The moms come back. It's very exciting. They're looking for their mates and their chicks. And then, remember the one mom and her chick didn't make it?
Yes.
And she looked for the guy. And I couldn't get the vibe of, did the guy tell her it didn't happen? Or did she just not find the guy?
Well, nobody's saying anything. You know?
Yeah, I mean, through chirping? No. Clucking? Whatever they do, they make noise. A
lot of clucking.
But it was so sad because then Morgan Freeman says, the sadness causes the mother to do the unthinkable. And I was like, oh my God, what is the unthinkable?
She pulled out a gun.
Nope, she did not. But she goes up to one of the other chicks with their mom.
Tries to kidnap
the chick.
Yeah, hold him at gunpoint.
Yeah, and the penguins surround her. And they're like,
no,
ma'am.
You didn't. No, ma'am. No.
We know you're in pain, but this is not the answer.
Yeah, we know you are sad. We know. Yeah.
But this is
hurt
not
people,
yours.
Hurt people. You've heard that saying, right?
Hurt people, hurt people.
Hurt people,
and we don't want this
people.
To be happening.
And you are not a person. But you
so
should
sweet
still
the way
get that
a
bumper
community.
Sticker. I know.
Do people use bumper stickers anymore? They seem to be so popular in the 80s.
You know what else was really popular in the 80s? Mooning. And I think I talked about this.
And streaking.
On this podcast.
No, that was the 70s.
Yeah, I feel like everybody was mooning, like out of bus windows. And we need to bring it back.
You and I can bring back mooning single-handedly.
Double-handedly.
When I was in high school, one of my friends thought it would be hilarious to moon me.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, Cracklin was there.
Oh.
And she saw the moon. And she never let that guy back into our house.
Wow. Cracklin was cracking the whip, huh?
Yeah. She was like, no, that's not how we do it here.
Wow.
She's like, that is disrespectful. I was like, well, it was, he was just being funny. She's like, that's not funny.
See, there was mooning and there was all sorts of stuff at my house. You know, one of the famous moments of my childhood, and I'm sure I've said it on here, was when apparently one of the principal said, what if your mother knew what you were doing?
Oh. And what'd you say?
I said, what if you knew what my mother was doing? I'm pretty good compared
that
to my mother.
That was pretty fast. That was pretty
But I know, but I'm saying like I was like not so shabby compared to what my mother was up to.
That is hilarious. Anyway, Tig, let's just say it's very sweet. They all get together.
They rub their defecation pouches.
Mm-hmm.
They touch.
And then the little chicks finally like get off of their mom's feet because they have to just like live on their feet for a while because it's too cold.
And then they grow up with dreams of doing that all over again themselves.
Yeah. So they live in the sea for 4 years. And then on the fifth year, they go out for the march.
Oh, my gosh. What a dumb idea.
We have
got to get in touch with them. I'm going to go out there. If somebody can.
You're going to go out there and really have a talk with these penguins.
I am. And just be like, listen. Don't do it.
You guys, there's got to be a better way. We've got to get you.
A penis.
Although that's not really the problem. That's not their biggest problem.
Right.
I do think a pouch would be helpful.
Yeah.
Then they could walk around.
Get the penguins a pouch.
It's a pouch. Give the penguins a pouch.
Is it give or get?
It's give.
Oh, I don't know.
Are you ready for some final thoughts?
Mm-hmm.
It's time for Happily Ever After Thoughts, where we give our final thoughts on this week's documentary. Did you cry?
I did not cry, but I felt equally as emotional as I have felt during the podcast that made me cry. I thought it was so touching, so extraordinarily beautiful, and so devastating and sad.
Yes.
To the point where I kind of couldn't handle it.
No. When Morgan Freeman said, get ready for the storm is coming, for like, this is the third time, I said, I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I can't watch this one more time.
It still remains one of my favorite movies, I think, of all time.
Okay. Well, this is an awkward question because I don't think there was one person in this film. It was really just penguins. Were you attracted to anyone? I mean, it would be weird if you don't say the penguin because that's too much.
Well, I mean, there's Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, but we didn't even see him. But
I know,
yeah,
but
okay.
Some people don't have eyesight.
That's true.
And you can be attracted to people.
Seduced by a voice.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go with that one. Can we just talk about, since this is our 50th mm-hmm. podcast.
Yeah.
Do you want to pick somebody from our list? From our 50 episodes of anyone that you are the most attracted to? Oh, boy. I mean, there are so many. Tiger King was a big one. The Jinx. I mean, it's hard to find attractive people.
No, I feel like your big one.
Who was my big one?
Wasn't it Metallica?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, let me tell you who your big one. You know who I think it is?
Mm.
Let's see. It was the singer, Sugar Man. It was Sugar Man's daughter. One of Sugar Man's daughters.
That was the big one for me?
Well, Wiener. No, who were you attracted to? Wasn't there someone from Crip Camp? I almost said Quip Camp. But I didn't.
You did say Quip Camp.
Well, you like Britney Spears.
What?
Wait, were you attracted to Britney
no.
Spears? In my mind, you were. Oh, Tina Turner.
Tina Turner, sure, yeah. Okay. I was going to say, I mean, the obvious one, and Thomas just mentioned it as well, but Stephanie from the Tig Doc.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be weird if you didn't. Oh, I know who you liked. You liked the guy from Air Guitar Nation. What was his name? He had a funny name.
I don't remember.
What was his name? Thomas will know.
I also liked a band called Death. Those guys. What? Remember?
A band called Death. Yeah, they were cute.
Yeah, from like they the look when they were, you know, like in their 20s.
Heyday.
Yeah. Bjorn to Rock.
Bjorn to Rock from Air Guitar Nation.
And you liked Sugar Man.
I did like Sugar Man.
Mm-hmm.
I did like Sugar Man. All right. Oh, was there a documentary that made you cry the most?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you cried on.
What?
Octopus Teacher?
Quip Camp.
Quip Camp.
Quip Camp.
Don't make fun of my R's. It happens sometimes.
When they were crawling up those stairs,
ugh.
I that was like, me. All right, you got me. You got me. That was the boohoo that I had where I didn't even try to hold back. I remember I was talking to you about that, where normally I'll try and choke back my tears. And this one, I was like, all right, I'm
this
crying. And I can't handle this. And I just really let it out. You thought it was Octopus?
Didn't you cry at the octopus thing?
I don't know.
At the octopus, my octopus teacher? Oh. And then what was mine? I mean, I don't cry a lot at these.
Yours was Hand on a Hard Body.
Hands on a Hard Body. You know why?
Because
that guy
cold as
had
ice.
His hands on that truck.
For his
for
wife.
How many days? And then gave it to his wife.
No, see, this is where we
his
disagree.
His feet were bleeding.
This is where we disagree.
He was hungry.
No.
And then he gave it to his wife.
No. He knew he was going to get that truck himself.
No, that's not true. If we caught up with him today, his wife is driving the truck.
Oh, my gosh. I would love to catch up with him today and talk to her and see.
And see who's driving the truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was there a doc that stands out to you as your favorite? It's hard because there are some really.
Penguins.
Oh, interesting. I really loved the Jinx.
I know you did.
I mean, that thing is crazy. The twists and the turns.
You know I love a twist and turn.
I know you do. That thing is crazy.
The staircase has a twist and a turn.
Oh, my God. The staircase. We still have listeners that think the bird killed her.
Yeah.
Which can't be the way that she died. A bird did not land on her head, and that's how she died.
And then the other woman that also died in his life.
Yeah, that was awkward.
That also fell down the stairs.
Also fell down the staircase. And it's like, it's a strange one. What else did we love? I mean, Three Identical Strangers is so... Although, how about Theranos?
Oh,
what is
yeah.
it called? Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah, the herpes.
The inventor. The herpes.
Oh, she's herpes in the news machine. Right now.
Yeah. She's on trial.
Yeah. She's accusing her boyfriend of sexual yes. assault and...
And yes, and manipulation? That's not really the word. What's the word?
Just bad
when you
stuff.
You manipulate somebody.
Coerce.
Anyway, and because of that made her... How did that make her do that? But anyway, that's her defense, mm-hmm. is that her boyfriend drove her to it.
Yeah.
And then he goes on trial after. Well, we'll keep everybody updated on that.
Will we?
Well, we would love to hear what you guys think about our 50 episodes and which one stood out to you, which doc you loved. Right, Tig?
Yeah, right, Cheryl. And, you know, I'd be curious to know what their favorite episodes have been.
Yeah, I'm curious of that.
Yeah, what are your favorite? Tell us what your favorite episodes out of the 50 have been.
Yeah, I like that.
Thank you.
We will be watching Exit Through the Gift Shop, which you can watch with the free trial of Sundance Now or rent on Amazon, Apple TV, or YouTube. Also, you can buy True Story merch at podswag.com/truestory. But we do love to hear from you guys.
We do.
So you can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Instagram.
Twitter, right?
Twitter.
Facebook.
Right.
I think we're everywhere.
Yeah. Tig, do you want to hear a true fan mail before we go?
I would love to.
Maybe.
I feel like everyone's last name is B.
Well, this is cute because her... It seems like the first name is May.
No, I get it.
Okay. So May B writes, "Dear Tig and Cheryl, my wife and I own a bar and are huge fans of your show. We listen weekly on our 2-hour commute home and look forward to every episode."
2-hour commute?
I know.
What's the name of the bar and where do you live?
"We came out of a 7-month lockdown in June here and realized that we were answering the bar phone nonstop with the customers asking the same questions over and over. What time do you open? Do you serve food? And what time do the strippers come on? Thanks to you, we realized we should probably set up our voicemail." "And so now our phone answers with the outgoing message, 'Shakers, please hold.'"
No.
"It's what maybe says, 'Shakers, please hold.'" Oh my God.
Wait. She's saying they really leave that on their outgoing message?
That's what it says. "Shakers, please hold. We really enjoyed this week's show, Hail Satan, and feel like we really got an actual documentary review and you didn't wander off topic much at all. We think this is because Tig actually watched the documentary this week."
I watch all of them.
"And did not take as many snack breaks."
Oh.
"But we are a little concerned about Cheryl's increasing... inability to pronounce her W's." I just had a problem.
You just said quib.
Quip. I know.
Camp.
I don't know what to do about it. "Your devoted and concerned fans, May and Michelle." Oh, Sweaty Betty's. Toronto, Canada.
Sweaty Betty's.
So is that a strip club? I mean, that's an interesting name for a strip club.
It sure is. So go on down to Sweaty Betty's.
Sweaty Betty's.
In Toronto? Is that right?
In Toronto. Oh. Listen, if I'm ever in Toronto, I'm going to Sweaty Betty's just to see what's happening. That's it, you guys. We love reading your messages, like I said, and your reviews. And I don't know, Tig, do you have anything to promote? We don't really have time for this today.
Just say, that's okay. Just my
Google
animated
okay.
special.
All right, guys.
On HBO.
All right.
Should we do it again?
Yeah, let's do it again. Tig and Cheryl True Story is hosted by me, Cheryl Hines, and Tig Notaro. It's produced by Gabby Kovacic and Thomas Willett, audio engineered and edited by Thomas Willett, with music by David Sussin. Special thanks to Patrick McDonald and Stephanie Allen. Follow us on social media for updates and review and rate True Story on Apple Podcasts. We really appreciate it. You can email us at tigandcherylTrueStory@gmail.com.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.